This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Can I welcome a new affiliate?
Yes, you can.
Thank you very much. WIFN in Atlanta, AM radio, is now carrying the Packer and Durham show every afternoon from 1 to 3.
So we go top 10 market all of a sudden.
Sports radio right there. It's the Fan. It's the ESPN affiliate in Atlanta. And they are now carrying Packer and Durham every afternoon, 1 to 3. So we welcome those folks there. Right there is part of Dickey Broadcasting's little broadcasting empire, 680 The Fan, 93.7 on the FM dial, the ESPN affiliate in Atlanta. Good to have those folks.
I think that we talking a little bit of Braves baseball today down there.
Probably so. I think we fall in the programming dossier of
– are we post-game Braves?
No.
2 a.m.?
No, we're 1 to 3, so that makes us – I think we're right behind Chuck Oliver and right before Paul Feinbaum.
Who?
Yeah. There you go. so welcome to the folks in Atlanta.
Love it. That's cool. You know what
my
that
address
means?
Since 1995.
That means more bargaining power for us.
And so more free parking, apparently, for the good folks at Dickey Broadcast.
I got to go print some more passes up for the folks down there in the ATL.
It's Carrying Packer and Durham. I got word yesterday. We were on there, so good to have everybody aboard.
Nice.
Yeah.
Makes my day.
Another proud terrestrial affiliate.
That's it. More than merrier.
We are going up and down the eastern seaboard, aren't we?
That's what we do.
So, but how you doing? Elsewise, good.
I health wise, not great.
Not oh, great. Here we go.
I'm always hurting about something.
No, come on now.
You know, when you reach a certain age, Wes, you eventually get there.
You're not that old, bro.
I feel like I'm 95 years old.
Oh my gosh.
I do. I roll out of bed literally. When I say roll out of bed, I mean literally roll out of bed.
Well, let me get you fired up this morning.
Listen, we got Atlanta as an affiliate. I'm good to go. You can't make it any better now.
How about a little couple exhibition basketball games last night?
We got Atlanta as an affiliate.
We had Syracuse and Clemson both win exhibition basketball games last night.
That's a fumble, by the way.
It was a fumble. It's a turnover in the front court.
Just like that.
Too many of those for Coach Brownell last night, I'm going to guess, based on the box score.
Exhibition basketball. We'll get to the real thing next week.
That's it. A week from today.
All right.
Yeah.
You know what else happens today? Other than Game 6 of the World Series?
Tyler Van Dyke.
He's later in the show.
Okay.
He's rocking.
Yeah, he is.
Might want to be his agent.
Wait a second.
Might want to be his agent.
Okay.
I think that guy's going to be a dude, don't you?
Yeah.
I do, too. I think he's going to be a player.
Mm-hmm. And the story's great.
No question.
Yeah.
But tonight, finally,
we bury
the Associated Press poll. Thank goodness those folks have no earthly idea what's been going on all year. So we bury them, and we get to the real deal.
Reese Davis, 7 o'clock, the foray.
I was with Reese yesterday. We talked about – I said to him, to me, the most important question nationally tonight is where is Cincinnati?
Okay.
Because I got to figure Georgia's going to be one.
Sure.
Where is Cincinnati?
Sure.
Right?
If Cincinnati's 2 or 3.
I don't know where they're going to be. I think it's as interesting a night in the college football playoff unveiling since the very first one, because there is so much unknown.
Like the first year?
Yes.
Wow.
And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because, number one, this has been a totally upside-down year in college football, right?
Right.
I gave you 61 ranked teams have lost
right
through 9 weeks.
Yep.
Georgia has been the dominant force. So I think they're one. That's a no-brainer. But 2 through 6 could be any combination of teams and order. I don't think we could say that in years past, where we've always felt, hey, it's Bama, Clemson, fill in the blank, right? Whatever the combination may be. But this year, it's like Georgia's over here, got them.
Mm-hmm.
Then 2 through 6 or even 7, what's the combination of where's Cincinnati? Do you put Ohio State in front of Oregon?
Right.
Is Michigan State in front of all of them? I don't know. Where's Oklahoma? They've been kind of hit and miss, even if they got a 0 in the loss column. So I think, you know, Bama's got 1 loss. There is a really interesting mix of 2 through 7, and what does it look like? And for all of us here in the ACC, those folks up here in Switzerland are sitting there going, all right, hey, we're 8-0 for the very first time ever. Where does the committee put Wake Forest? Is it a top 10 conversation? Is it a top 15? I mean, you really have no idea what this committee is thinking until you see the very first poll.
Roddy and I had this conversation Saturday during the second half briefly, and you've been through it. You went through it a lot earlier than we did.
It's awesome.
In terms of the mock selection committee.
It's great.
So I'll ask you the same question I asked Roddy during the broadcast Saturday. What grouping do you think Wake Forest is in? Because you know how they arrive at the teams.
Did I not just say that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's, I mean, who are they with team-wise?
Well, and that's why I think wherever they put Wake, if they have them 8th, if they have them 15th, nothing's going to surprise
me. I agree with that.
Because you have no idea what this committee is putting a value on.
That's it.
Right? At the very
top. That's what makes every committee different.
Right.
Yep.
And that's why the first one really becomes interesting. And then on top of the fact, this has been such an upside down year. Mm-hmm. Again, Georgia's going to be over here, but 2 through 7 and what order they're in will give you some idea of what is important to this committee. Is head to head important? Well, you'll find out with Oregon and Ohio State. Body of work, how important is that? You'll figure that out with Oklahoma, Michigan State, Alabama, whatever combo you want with all this group, right?
Ranked teams against ranked teams.
Yes, deal. And you look at Wake Forest's resume. Well, how will the committee look at Wake Forest as far as, hey, they're 8-0, that's acknowledged, but the 8 teams that they have beaten, what impresses the committee?
Right.
Maybe nothing does. Maybe everything. I don't know the answer to that. So that, for me, tonight, I think, is as interesting a night as we've seen since the very first unveiling, because you really have no idea what the committee's thinking, and it's been a totally upside-down world of college football.
That's a good point. I do believe the one thing tonight, and I'll just throw some cautionary tales out there, the fact Wake Forest has not played a ranked team takes them out of one potential group of the zeros. Those are the ones. I mean, look at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's undefeated. They beat Notre Dame in South Bend. That's going to count in the committee room.
Oh,
in a
big
way.
Question.
And that's why we're talking about Cincinnati at potentially 2.
But I tell you this, if Cincinnati, I know this is the ACC network, but if Cincinnati to me is 3 or 4, they got a problem. Because they're going to get leaped.
That is correct.
In my opinion.
I think you're right. Now, if they're 2, I think it's a different story.
And when you start at 2 and you have
hold,
a 0
you
and,
hold.
And you're going to be the dominant force of the rest of your schedule,
right?
Assuming Notre Dame continues to win, and I think they probably will. Let's get knock on wood, who knows?
Right.
How do you lose? How do you drop from 2 to outside the playoff?
That's right.
Now, when you're 3 or 4, with games to play, that could happen. Yeah. 2, it's hard to drop out at 2.
I think Wake Forest, this is just sheer speculation, I would think Wake Forest could be anywhere from 9. That would be really high. I think 10 is maybe the ceiling, to 13 or 14.
It said 10 to 15. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know what this committee. This is not something you can study years past and say, well, this is what they're going to do.
Because everybody's different.
It's a whole new committee.
Everybody's different.
Parts of it,
yeah,
for sure.
Going to be really, really interesting.
Yep. Good day.
One thing we do know about the ACC, they got the quarterbacks. And now you got a list to prove it.
Yep.
Because the Maxwell semifinalists were announced yesterday, and the ACC has 4 players on the Maxwell semifinalist list. No other conference has more than 2 back. That is quite a statement. And by the way, 4 legits on there too.
What? Well,
3 quarterbacks and a running back.
Right. Sean Tucker's the running back.
Yeah.
What's amazing to me, this proves my point about college football, what we thought we knew in the summer versus what we now know in the first week of November. Yeah, the ACC surprised you, right? We told you all summer long how good the league was from a quarterback standpoint, top to bottom. Sean Tucker has hit the world and just said, hey, look at me. 34 is a bad man up there at Syracuse.
Right.
But how about this? Armstrong, Hartman, Pickett, Tucker on the list.
Mm-hmm.
No Sam Howell.
No Sam Howell, no DJ Uiagalelei.
Right.
No, obviously, those were the 2 guys on the Heisman list.
Right, and De'Aaron King, of course, was injured, and so that got removed. But you start talking about what we thought we knew in the middle of the summer, how we thought it would play out from a team standpoint, not to mention individual standpoint, and here we are. You know, we're now going into Week 10, and those are the 4 dudes from the ACC, and every one of them well-deserved. They played great, all of them. So good for them.
So congratulations to those guys. Looking forward to seeing how the national awards play out. More lists, by the way. the semifinal list will be unveiled here in the next week or so. Then you'll work to finalist at about third week in November usually. And then most of those awards, of course, come up on the Home Depot College Football Awards in early December right here on the ESPN Family.
Can we do one thing, though, for all these awards? Because now we got to narrow down.
Sure.
How about when they come out with their watch list in August? And it's like anybody who has a pulse that has cleats, pads, and a jock strap, you are on the fill-in-the-blank watch list. I've never understood that. And they come out with like a press release with like 500 names. Here's the guys on the watch list. Hey, we get it.
Well, how about A.T.?
Everybody's on the watch list.
How about A.T. Perry of Wake Forest was added to the Biletnikoff list last week?
Well, they finally got around to it. It's good.
He wasn't on the preseason list, but you know what? A.T.
That's good.
Cutting it up a little bit, man. We'll put you on the list.
Tay, when you go through that Maxwell list, though,
how
they've cut it down, there are nothing but dudes on that thing. No, seriously, every single guy has just been like, wow, player, 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 player.
Yeah.
As it should be.
No question. Tough news at Louisville. Keetrell Clark is done for the year.
Stinks.
This does stink. The outstanding corner for Scott Satterfield and defensive coordinator Brian Brown tore his ACL in the ball game over the weekend. 40 tackles, 3 interceptions, 9 deflections this season alone for Clark. Heck of a player, by the way.
Yep.
And our best to him as he tries to get back. And came on the scene a year ago and has delivered this year. So, Trey, we're thinking of you, and best wishes in your rehab.
No question. That's another one of those games coming up this week, Clemson at Louisville.
Yeah.
That, we've seen the Tigers enough. They're not going to score more than 20. Louisville's got a shot to finally beat Clemson for the very first time.
Yeah. Other news item from the Dean Vernon Wormer of Faber College files comes this one. And you say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, remember in the movie, some of you won't because you didn't see it, Packer and I will, and others of our ilk. Dean Vernon Wormer in the infamous National Lampoon's Animal House said there's a little-known codicil in the Faber College bylaws. Well, there's a little-known codicil in the NCAA rulebook that says you can't have only a certain number of electronic communication devices during games. Well, Miami has been reprimanded for violating that particular rule. They'll have a 20% reduction in communication devices for the Georgia Tech game on Saturday. We don't know how many they had. We don't know how far over it was. But Miami violated it. And so, therefore, they'll have to present. Now, this ought to be photo opt. They'll have to exchange a headset sheet and team credential list before the game. Schools are limited, by the way, to 23 communication devices per game. We had no idea how many Miami had. But nonetheless, little-known codicil pack. Can't have more than 23.
Well, I'm just going to ask a stupid question. Why is that even a rule? What would happen if a team had 85 guys?
Because, here's what.
What difference does that make?
The thinking, I believe, was this. I believe. The thinking was that if you had more than 23, then you can have, Analyst A, Analyst B, Analyst C, Analyst D, all have headsets.
Well, help me. Walk me through this. Let's say that's true.
Mm-hmm.
What difference does it make?
It would give a school an advantage because they have more money in their budget to hire all the analysts.
Now, you're missing my point. We're playing the game.
They would coaches, a lot of coaching, a lot of extra set of eyes and the ability to communicate. That would be an advantage. This is a football coaching AFCA thing.
I don't understand it. I mean,
what do you mean you don't?
You and I, let's say you and I are coaches.
Sure.
All right. We're two of the 75 analyst on Team X.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
We got headsets on.
Yeah, we do.
Hey, Wes. Hey,
great day. I can talk to you. You can talk to me.
Great day for a game.
And we're
going
to switch the channel and talk to everybody else.
Can't believe we're getting beat by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
All right. What difference does it make if we all have headsets on? Guys are still having to make plays.
Sure. But there's a feeling that the more communication devices available to certain schools gives them an advantage in communicating success to their team.
What to say, hey, Bob, we stink? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't understand why there's a limit.
It was perceived advantage for certain schools.
I don't get that part. I saw that the public reprimand, because I really thought when we come out with accounting, I thought about putting public reprimand in the Sweet 16. Like, okay, great. You slapped the wrist. What difference does it make?
In all honesty, I think
is that the reason Miami beat Pitt? No. Had nothing to do with it.
Well, but if you exceed the rule.
Yeah, I think the rule stinks.
You know, it's a good question to ask a coach next time.
You know, did we not have, remind me though.
They put it in a couple of years ago.
Did we not have this conversation with Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech at the ACC spring meetings a couple of years ago? When Paul Johnson, and now if I'm wrong, I will apologize. But Paul Johnson, I thought all of us were having this conversation. And Paul Johnson laughed and said, man, I don't even know what the rule was. We only have like 8 or 9 guys on the headset.
That's correct.
Am I right?
Yeah, he was old school about that.
And when he said that, it registered to me because it's like.
But not every school's that way.
I understand. So the guy that's got the line's 23, if Miami used 24 or 124, I don't know.
Have you ever heard the football discussions?
Yes, and it has nothing to do with what takes place on the field. The guy's still got to go make a play,
right,
whether we're on the headset or not.
Correct. But it germinates at the AFCA. They recommend it to the NCAA Football Rules Committee.
And you wonder why nothing gets done.
Right.
But we have another committee meeting.
This is like the football conversation or the basketball conversation. And I'm not talking about the games. I'm talking about the balls that are used on the field.
Here's another question I have for you regarding this Miami thing. How'd they find out?
Somebody turned them in.
Well, it had to be Pitt.
Well, I don't know that it was Pitt. It could have happened in a previous game.
Okay.
I tried to read through some of the summarizations.
It had to be the opponent. Now, how would the opponent know?
Because the opponent probably has enough personnel that they sent somebody to count.
They were on their headset and going, hey, I'm counting the headsets over there. I think they got 27. I mean, it doesn't even make any sense to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think the whole thing's stupid.
Yeah. All right, we got plenty to go.
Okay. We got 3 hours.
We're going to talk to coaches, not about headsets, when we come back. We're going to go to
conference.
I'm
going to ask Dabo Thursday on that question.
All right.
Maybe a head coach can explain it to me.
It's a perceived advantage. I know the reason the rule exists. That part I do know.
Let me ask you another question.
We're late, by the way.
It doesn't matter. We got 3 hours got to fill here. And if that happened in basketball.
Yeah.
Would a team have an advantage?
I don't know. Potentially. Guys would still have to put the ball in a basket.
That's my point.
I got one for you this year.
That's
in basketball.
That's exactly my point.
You're
going to
lose your mind in basketball this year. There's one rule in basketball that's going to be used in 23 leagues.
You have to memorize everybody's roster?
No. They're going to be able to watch video on the benches.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. But if a coach takes a electronic device and shows it to an official and says, look at this,
should be
you're
a technical.
Wrong. It is a technical foul.
Well, about time. I hope they start tossing some of these guys. There's no need for that.
You mean like Scott Leffler who got tossed by Bowling Green this weekend?
There's no need.
First guy since they instituted the rule who got thrown for
there's
double unsportsmanlike
no need
conduct.
To bring an official in there and with your own little snap pad over there and go, hey, look at this.
Snap pad?
Or whatever, I just made
it. Is that new
up.
Technology?
I'm just making something.
All right, look, Macri and Brooks are all fidgety and upset.
It's
we got
okay.
Megatron directing today.
We got plenty of time.
We got to take a break. When we come back, conference cuts are next, kids. Also, accounting at the bottom of the hour. Oh, some of you are not going to be happy. Pat Narduzzi, we'll see how he's doing. Mike Norvell, got to be okay. Dave Doran got to feel a lot better. There's Coach Mack. He's getting ready. Wake Forest visiting Chapel Hill on Saturday. Packer and Durham is underway. It's a Tuesday morning on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, don't forget, we got a triple scoop of ACC football for you coming up on Saturday. We'll start at high noon from Durham, presented by Subway, Kenny Pickett, and the Panthers. Come to Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium, Pack,
yep,
to see the Blue Devils of Duke. Then the middle game, NC State. Tricky little contest here. This one will be interesting to break down as the week moves on. The Wolfpack and the Seminoles in the Atlantic Division. Then in primetime, more Atlantic Division football presented by Geico. Clemson on the road at Cardinal Stadium against Scott Satterfield in Louisville. Starts at noon, finishes at about 10:30, 11 o'clock on Saturday night. right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app.
Glad you got that in. We're almost running out of time. I have to go to break again. Ready for some conference cuts?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
How about you? You ready?
I love conference cuts.
I do too. Mack Brown yesterday in Chapel Hill, undefeated Wake Forest, showing up at Keenan Stadium for a high noon start on ABC. Coach Brown right away about the opportunity that presents itself for his football team.
Very seldom does the number 10 team come to your place. So what a great opportunity for us. And they deserved it. This is late in the year. It's not like we were number 10 in preseason.
Last year we were number
5 after 3 weeks. They've earned it. There are very few undefeated teams out there. And they've won an overtime game at Syracuse. They've won a tight game with Louisville at home. And that's what you got to do to be undefeated. So they're really, really good. And the fun thing for us is you stop worrying about all the what should have happened or preseason. This is the number 10 team in the country and a great challenge for us and a fun time for us to figure out how do we get better? What should we have done differently as coaches to beat Notre Dame? What could we have done as players to cut out a few of those mistakes and beat the number 11 team in the country? And we had a chance to do that on the road. Now you've got the number 10. Whoever gets to play 10 and 11 back-to-back, that just doesn't happen. So this is good for us right now. It's good for us to get back down to earth and understand what we got to do to get it fixed and make sure that we continue to work in a positive way. So I like it. I like the challenge. We don't need any gimmies right now, and that wouldn't be a gimme for us anyway, but we need to be challenged to get better. And this will force us to do that.
Where would you like to start with that whole?
Go ahead. You're fine.
Mack needs to just let that ranking thing go away now. He really does. We know Wake's 10. They may be higher tonight when the real poll comes out. Who knows? But all that preseason stuff, it's over and done with. We know it, that's done. You can't touch it.
Right.
No, you were the preseason number 10 team. If you don't win Saturday, you're sub-500, which is – I can't even comprehend that for this season.
Yeah.
But I think, in my opinion, I think Wake Forest is going to get North Carolina's very best Saturday.
I do too.
I think this is going to be a high-scoring, crazy, wide-open game. The Deacs can flat-out score, and so can Carolina. And I think North Carolina, as disappointing as this year has been for them, based on preseason expectations, had nothing to do with the media's fault on that. This, to me, becomes North Carolina's moment to say, guess what? We can put a spin on something good here.
Right.
And I think they will absolutely play well.
And so I'll be
stunned if they don't.
Dave Clawson, who visited with us yesterday, you'll see it again coming up in about 17, 18 minutes. Dave Clawson knows it too. He knows Carolina will come with both barrels blazing on Saturday at noon.
Yep.
Speaking of a team that will probably come with both barrels blazing on Saturday, that would be Pittsburgh. After a loss to Miami on Saturday at Heinz Field, Pat Narduzzi talked about his team's uncharacteristic mistakes against the Canes.
We talked about composure and poise all week. And, we let them get in our heads. There was a lot of trash talking. I don't know about what. You can just imagine. I don't know what happens on video games, but I heard a lot of video game talk, so I don't know what that means. But I didn't get some straight answers about what ticked some of our kids off. But when Deslin gets a personal foul, you kind of go, something's wrong, because about the calmest, smartest guy on our football team. So we didn't compose ourselves. We prepared our guys for it. Disappointing thing is they didn't really listen, and we knew it was going to happen. I guess, one thing looking back, I always point the thing, point it at myself, like, what could I have done to prevent that? I talked about it, but I should have had our scout team, our rocks, talk more crap during the week and cause some fights in practice, I guess. But I didn't do that. So that's something will happen, next year for sure.
Let me tell you this, sir. You do not need to talk trash on video games when you're playing online against opposing players from the other team.
I spend as much time with video games as I do message boards.
That'd be a zero.
And Instagram and Facebook.
Another zero.
All zeros. Mm-hmm. Just like Wake Forest in the loss column.
Right.
Zeros.
Right.
So when Pat
But I will say this, that's real. What he just said
happens. Apparently so, because Pat heard it. Even though he knows nothing about video games, he heard it. The video game talk going on out there.
Right.
I have no idea. All I know is scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All I know is scoreboard.
Yeah.
Miami's got it.
And Pitt's got to get it cleaned up here because the Panthers still have plenty to play for.
Well, of course, they're in first place. Ball's still in their court.
Correct. Right? They got a lot of company now. They didn't have much company the other day. And had they won, they'd still go to November at arm's length, but not anymore.
They had a nice buffer as long as they kept zipping. Now, if pressure's on, they've got to go hold serve and win them all.
All right, before we get to break and accounting, Mike Norvell, you saw a whale of a game Saturday.
It was a good game.
Hard-fought game, competitive back and forth. Mm-hmm. Seeing its three-game win streak snapped on Saturday, Mike Norvell says there's a lesson he learned from an FSU coaching legend early in his time that'll help.
One of my first, I guess it was my first couple months being here, we were going through our tour of duty. And Coach Andrews actually came out. And as we're going through the drills, he came up to me and, it was a drill where we're emphasizing a guy's, you know, getting up, whether it was a seat roll or a belly, belly flop. And Coach Andrews told me, he goes, Mike, it's not a sin to get knocked down. Your butt just better be getting up before you hit the ground. And I think that is an unbelievable wisdom of just how you should approach things. Our team is, it was a challenging first month, but we got up. We responded. We pushed forward. Had about 4 weeks where, there was some positive momentum, a lot of things that were growing and building upon. Obviously, Sunday or Saturday, we got knocked down again. And, the only sin is if you stay down on that ground. But, we're going to jump up and we're going to move forward. We're going to attack every day with all that we can to improve, to get better, to be the team that we're capable of being. And, that's the mindset. That's the approach.
That's a pretty good way to describe their season so far, isn't it?
Yeah, no question. I mean, September and October, almost polar opposites. I would suggest for NC State, They need to get off to a good start because, again, after seeing Florida State in person last week, they're playing hard, right? Now, they had a chance to win that game in Death Valley. Clemson made a few more plays down the stretch. But Florida State's starting to believe that, you know what, we're on the right track. And NC State's having a great year. They're experienced. But, Devin Leary has been awesome. He doesn't get enough talked about in terms of this league and quarterback play and all that stuff. I think it's critical for NC State to get off to a really good start in Tallahassee. Not want that game going into the second half where Florida State goes, hey, remember last week we didn't finish? Let's go finish with a home crowd. Important.
And I think people will be welcoming on Saturday.
I do too. Florida State fans, I hope. Mm-hmm. Listen, are you ranked in the top 10? No, I get all that. But this team has absolutely gotten off the ground, like Coach just talked about. They are playing hard. It'd have been easy to say, stick a fork in us, we're done, we'll catch you in 22.
Right.
We've seen that act the last couple of years.
That's correct.
This team's not doing that.
Yeah.
They're playing well.
I think NC State, Florida State's got all the trappings. It's the middle game of the triple header here on ACC Network coming up on Saturday afternoon. When we come back, kids, it's that time. We've already stacked them over there. We'll see what the Packers got on his shelf and what I got on mine. Because when we come back, accounting.
Mm-hmm. Tougher this week.
Oh, my man.
Not my man.
Why? Because he didn't show?
It's a no-show.
Oh, didn't show for the live show? So he's okay. Canes are on the move, by the way, in accounting. I'm just going to let that one in on you right now. Miami is on the move. You don't beat back-to-back ranked teams and not get some love from Ole Miss. See you in a minute on the other side on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I'm on a Tuesday, which means one thing on this show.
Pretty close.
Time for accounting.
Huh.
Some will do 14.
That'd be me.
Some will be creative and come up with a sweet 16. And if folks back at home watching, listening, you can come on your own list. Tomorrow is fan accounting, Wednesday.
And many have already submitted.
Yep.
You can hit us up on Twitter, tag us using accounting, Hashtag Packer in Durham, hashtag accounting, at Mark Packer, at West Durham, take your pick. Many of you have submitted. We review those on Wednesdays. Ready?
Let's do it.
All right. No change at the top for me. I still got the Swiss number one. Wake Forest, NC State's up two. Miami is the biggest riser in the market.
Wow.
Hey, you beat two ranked teams. You beat two ranked teams. You're fifth. You move up five to third.
Why aren't they at NC State? They beat them.
I know they did. I know. Don't push it. Okay?
I'm just asking you. It's your list.
You went, wow, and I'm telling you they're at five.
I'm surprised Miami's up that high. But, I mean, if it's because they beat ranked teams, wouldn't they be in front of the team they beat?
Well, in logic, some of that logic gets applied.
I'm just asking.
But not always.
Inquiring minds want to know what
Pittsburgh is fourth, Virginia fifth, Louisville drops one to six, Clemson down one to seven. Florida State down 1-8, Syracuse down 1-9, Virginia Tech up 3, Georgia Tech down 1, Carolina, Boston College, Duke holds at 14.
We got some similar neighborhood spots here.
That's right.
Miami at 5.
All right, two wins against ranked teams. Consulting with my staff, they like that.
Your staff?
I have a staff.
Who's your staff?
Small staff. I run it by some people.
Like who?
I'll check in on them.
I understand it, but who are they?
Staff. You know what I mean?
You got to listen to the question.
I'm not really going to reveal people who are on my staff. Right. Accounting staff.
Okay.
Accounting department. I know you don't.
I don't need no stinking staff. Nope. I don't need first class travel. I don't need no stinking staff. I don't want any meetings. I don't want to waste the time.
Is Peaceful Weekend going to be 15 or 16? That lakefront weekend, you know, Clemson, you know, homecoming, whatever it was at Clemson this weekend, you amongst them, out amongst them this weekend?
No, I'll be right here.
Okay.
In fact, Mrs. P going to be down in Atlanta.
Mm. I thought it would be 15 or 16 after your weekend jaunt to Tigertown.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. All right, time for the Sweet 16.
All right.
Let it rip. Number one, the Swiss. Of course, NC State, 2. They move up in front of Pitt, who just somehow will not take advantage of when they got a chance to take advantage.
Crazy.
Clemson moves up, but this whole cluster of like 4 through 8,
yes,
kind of about the same to me. I you know, on a given weekend, depending on the way the wind blows, Virginia goes down a spot because when you give up 66, you can't stay the same. Like Wes, I've got Miami moving up, but I got them where they are. Canes still have a chance.
You had them moving up 5?
I know, but I don't have them third in the league.
Okay, all right.
But the back-to-back weekend's impressive.
Well, you got NC State ahead of Miami.
I do, but it's not even close. There's a reason for it. NC State hasn't lost 4 games.
I understand. I had Miami up there.
Did you hear that?
Yeah,
NC State hasn't lost 4 games.
4, I heard you.
All right, the team of mystery, you know, they could win this weekend, pop up to the top 5 or 4. The invaders of the North would be Syracuse, kind of like what old Dino's doing up there.
Yep.
Life is good. Hokey, 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 hi. Man, just stay away from Lane Stadium. You guys will be fine. What's going on with that? The Noles dropped 4, but don't let that bother you. Florida State's playing good football. I like what Mike Norvell is doing. Georgia Tech, you know, some of this whole thing gets all messed around. Georgia Tech's sitting where they are only because they beat Carolina. And Boston College has fallen like rocks. They beat nobody in October. They're down to 13. Duke's 14. And the Sweet 16 this week, 15 is the Chariot of Champions, which was totally juiced up and ready to go when I had the wheel. And then, of course, I got out of it, and it just died. 16 is a shoe blimp, and that's the competition. Chariot of Champions on the ground, shoe blimp in the air, and our next venture at sea.
Oh, gosh.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
That's right. We are working on it. Take this bad boy out.
We're 6 months away from Saturday.
Well, we got my people are working on it.
Your staff?
Yeah, my staff of me.
Yeah.
There it is, Sweet 16. Even though I did think for a second, public reprimand might have gotten some love this week, given what happened with Miami, which I still think is just a ridiculous rule. But what do you want from me?
All right. That's accounting. Don't forget, you can submit yours. Use the hashtag accounting, hashtag Packer and Durham, or you can tag Mark and I on Twitter, at Mark Packer at West Durham. You're right. From about 5 to about 10, it's a mess.
It's just inconsistent.
Right.
I mean, these teams, I really, you know, Wake's been the most consistent. Mm-hmm. NC State's been pretty good.
Right.
I was buying Pitt, and then Pitt, every time I love on
Why does Pitt
hug,
give it back?
They do, and they do it instantly, they give right? It back. Right. They go beat Tennessee, and you're like, man, there you go.
Yep.
And here comes
They beat
Western.
Clemson.
Yeah, they lose to Western Michigan. How do you do that?
Just right.
You beat Clemson, and you're like, all right, just crowd's into it. Here comes Miami. Here, you take it. Pitt's weird with that.
Yeah.
You know, coach is talking karma last week, and then this happens, right? So Pitt's kind of hard to figure. But after those three,
I'll stay focused.
After those three, Wes, yeah. I mean, Virginia could look like, you know, world beater one week, and then they give up 66, right? Clemson can't score, but their defense is really good. Louisville can give it to you in a game. They could be great for two, three quarters,
right.
And then to Virginia in the fourth quarter, or NC State Saturday night, where they got the lead in the fourth quarter and give up three touchdowns. So it's weird. Hard
I was
to figure.
Asked an interesting question yesterday, and we're way ahead of this. I'm going to readily say that at the front. There are a lot of bowl spots. The ACC's going potentially.
No. Well, when you got 800 bowls, you got to fill them with everybody who's 4-8.
Wake, NC State, Miami, Pitt, Virginia, Louisville, Clemson, Florida State, Syracuse, and then somewhere in that group from 10 to 14, somebody's going to get eligible.
Well, I would tell you a team like North Carolina, preseason top 10 at 4-4.
Right.
Man, you got Wofford who's going to give you the fifth win, and now can they find another one amongst the combination
right.
of Wake and Pitt
Ooh.
And NC State?
Oh, boy.
Got to find one in there somewhere.
November is going to be large for a lot of teams.
Well, we've talked about the race to Charlotte is going to be great in this league. As far as the college football playoff, you know, Clemson being out of it this year. They've owned it for six consecutive years. Deeks are making a great run. But for Wake, to me, for Wake Forest to be in the college football playoff conversation, I just don't think there's enough meat on the bone from quality wins.
They're going to have to run it to a zero all the way through.
But, Wes, even
and then,
so.
Even then, I'm not sure.
At the end of the day, they're going to say, all right, give me who's your best win? I mean, that's the
right.
problem.
That's
so,
right.
mm-hmm. But the race to Charlotte, I think, is going to be phenomenal in mm-hmm. this league. So
go.
That's what we've got.
All right, when we come back, in case you missed it yesterday, Dave Clawson joined us on the show. We're going to replay that. Fascinating conversation. We talked about staying focused, the win against Duke, but also knowing what's ahead in Chapel Hill Saturday at high noon. The coach of the Swiss coming at you next with the, hey, he's got the mug too. Right here on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday morning. Accounting is out. You'll hear from Tyler Van Dyke.
Accounting is out. Yeah, it is.
Tyler Van Dyke from Miami will join us later in the program.
Yeah, there you go. Looking forward to Tyler Van Dyke.
And wide receiver you as well today. Announce the winner.
That's right. That comes up at 9:30. Tyler Van Dyke, 9:15. Dave Clawson now, though, from yesterday's program, we start our visit with the head coach of the number 10 Demon Deacons by saying, was Saturday one of the best team wins of the season?
Our offense has been playing at a high level, but to see our defense kind of come back after not defending the run so well the previous 3 weeks was a really encouraging sign for our football team. So, again, the offense is playing at a high level, and they've been consistent all year. But to see the resilience of our defense, our staff, our players, was very encouraging for our football team.
All right, Alan, I'm going to go off the beaten path a little bit because we'll get to your football team here in a second. How about your students? How about the student body at Wake Forest in terms of the percentage of your student body that says, guess what? It's cool to be part of something because something's happening right now in Winston-Salem. The fact that the place was sold out Saturday was awesome, but the student body that says, hey, everybody, let's go. We're going to kick off. It doesn't matter if it's noon, 3:30, prime time, whatever. Man, this is what college to me is all about. The whole experience, not with your student athletes, coach, but the fact that everybody's now jumping on board going, hey, you guys are doing something incredibly special right now. Really cool to watch.
Well, that watching these scenes and just how packed that student section was, you know, it gives me goosebumps. That's part of the reason why you have you know, college football, and you're in a Power Five conference, is you want student engagement. You want football and college athletics to be a rallying point of which people feel more connected to their school. And the support we got was incredible. And if you add the 125 football players that aren't included in that 42-33, you know, it's even a greater percentage of our student body was there. So their support means so much to our players. And afterwards, as soon as the game's over, our players just head over to the student section and start dancing and singing with them. And, you know, it's a good feeling. You feel like you're bringing value to the institution when things like that happen.
Does it feel, though, any different, the fact that the Associated Press, for the first time ever, has Wake Forest in the top 10? That's outside noise. I know you don't want to hear about it, but does it just feel different? Or is it just a typical Monday, hey, we're going to get to work and we got to get ready for North Carolina?
Well, certainly when you start the year, and our whole theme of good to great is we wanted to be a nationally ranked team. And so if that's a goal that you put out there, we're not going to ignore it. We're proud of it. And we had a team meeting last night, and we said, guys, congratulations. You're the first team ever at Wake Forest to go 8-0. You're the first team ever to be in the top 10, and congratulate each other. They all shook each other's hands and clapped and patted each other in the back. I said, okay, now let's move on. That's history. We have a huge game against one of our biggest rivals. The first college football game ever played in North Carolina was Wake Forest in North Carolina. This is a really, really big game to our players, especially the guys from North Carolina. And it's a program that we have a lot of respect for. You know, Mac has done a phenomenal job since he's gotten back there. You know, there's certainly a reason they were a preseason top 10 team. They are extremely talented. They can play with anybody in the country, and really had a great opportunity to win at Notre Dame, you know, if they just convert a third down and don't give up a big play. So we know the challenge. And you have big picture goals, but the only way that you accomplish those big picture goals, if you maintain your day to day and week to week focus. And we learned that the hard way in 2019, 2019, we were 7-1. We were nationally ranked. We were in the college football playoff discussion. And we didn't handle it well. We lost our way, and we have so many guys on our team now that were part of that, that saw what that did to us, that they're not going to let it happen again. And that doesn't mean we're going to win every game. But if we don't win, I don't think it'll be for a lack of focus or losing our way.
Well, the other aspect is the last two meetings with Wake Forest and North Carolina have been cliffhangers. I mean, last year was a shootout both ways. But you guys bring out the best in each other, it seems like. I mean, that's what makes a good rivalry, I guess, in many respects.
Yeah, I mean, in 2019, you know, we weren't as concerned because Pac picked us to win. So I know that created some motivation in Chapel Hill, but, you know, we canceled practice that week for 2 days because as soon as that prediction came out, our guys felt good about it. So
That didn't happen last year.
Let me tell you what I think about this week's game, Coach. You ready for that?
No, we're not ready for this week's prediction.
I didn't forget that.
That's funny.
Upset that your words were twisted, and we twisted them in a different way in Winston-Salem. So thanks
that's
for
true.
That.
But it is interesting. Here's a non-conference game, right? But it's everything you want in a non-conference game. And you've been talking good to great for a long time. But one of the things that Roddy and I got into on the broadcast the other day is good to great also means you stay on task week to week. And whether it's you or your players, it's week to week. And I think that's one of the real powerful traits of your football team right now.
Well, so far, we've done a great job of handling it. But November football is different. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we've been in this position before 2 years ago, and I don't think we handled it well. I think we lost our focus. I really believe there was some selfishness that crept into our football team in 19. That, you know, maybe in some cases, guys were playing for me instead of we. And we have to make sure that doesn't happen this year. And I feel good about it. We've got a mature team. We got guys that enjoy playing with each other. We have a guy, we have a group of guys that really enjoy playing football. And so, like I said, I don't know what's going to happen Saturday at Chapel Hill. We're on the road against a very good football team, very talented, well-coached. But I don't question the preparation and the work ethic that our players will put into it. And that's a great place to start every week. So I'm proud of our guys, but we have a lot of work ahead. And as we said, you know, they always remember November. We hope to finish as strong as we started.
Well, there's no doubt that for Coach, November's got to be a step up because November has been difficult for Dave Clawson and the D-Bigs.
Yeah. I mean, you start looking at the wins and the losses, it gets pretty interesting.
8-16.
And now the schedule backs it up, right?
8-16. It's and here's the other thing for Wake. There's now a target on the Deeks. You know, when you go that rarefied top 10 air with a zero in the loss column and it's November,
yeah.
Believe me, they've walked into Keenan Stadium many times before, but never as the 10th ranked team in the country.
That's right.
Undefeated.
Well, they've never played a game as the 10th ranked team.
That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah. So if you're Mac Brown, those guys, you're like, hey, this is a big deal. Like you just saw what Mac talked to. So for Wake now, it's not the cool Swiss team. Like, hey, you are now a target.
Right.
Right. People want a piece of you. So it's going to be, again, I think it's a cool sidebar story to watch how Wake handles success.
Right.
Like they are right now. This is a
Packer and Durham.
You may remember on our show yesterday.